7:17 a.m. Crom Carmichael is in studio with us on the Newsmaker line. Our good friend, State Senate Majority Leader Jack Johnson. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Michael. Good to be back with you.
I saw that a bill that has been passed by the State Senate and the State House apparently has been signed by Lieutenant Governor McNally, on its way today, apparently, for signature by Speaker of the House Cam Sexton, the bill that sets up the 3-year residency requirement to be to run in a primary. That bill, there's already been a lawsuit filed in federal court against it. I've never seen, in your time in the state Senate and representing Williamson County in the Tennessee General Assembly, have you ever seen a federal lawsuit brought against a bill that has passed the legislature but has not yet been signed into law?
No, I haven't, Michael, and I'm completely mystified by that. I'm not a legal scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're going to file suit about something, doesn't that something have to actually exist? And here's what I mean by that. The governor could, I have no idea what the governor plans to do with that legislation, but the governor could veto it and the General Assembly not override the veto, meaning it never becomes law. There's any number of things that could happen. It is not the law of the state of Tennessee yet. So why they're suing over something that hasn't even come into effect is just completely bumfuddles me.
Yeah, I think that's my reaction as well, Jack. So that particular bill would establish a requirement for a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate to have lived in the state for 3 years prior before the filing deadline for the primary, but it would allow them to run as an independent in the general election. My question to you is, I think, has Lieutenant Governor McNally signed that bill?
I don't know if he has or not. If he has not, Michael, I feel confident that he would do so today. And as you reported earlier, the Lieutenant Governor, the Speaker of the Senate, needs to sign it as the action of the Senate, and Cameron Sexton needs to do the same thing on behalf of the House. And then the bill is, quote-unquote, transmitted, is the term we use, to the governor, and then that starts the 10-day clock. Once it arrives on the governor's desk, there is a 10-day clock during which the governor can sign the bill, and it becomes law. He could veto the bill, in which case we then have the opportunity to consider overriding that veto. Or he can simply let that clock run out, that 10-day clock, and the bill becomes law without his signature.
Has the governor communicated to you directly whether or not he intends to sign that bill?
He has not, Michael. He has kept his cards very close to the vest on this particular matter. In fact, he has said something in the media, but the only thing I've heard reported about him saying is that he would review the legislation once it reached his desk. There is an interesting component here, is that the filing deadline to file and get on the ballot for the United States Congress, we don't have a U.S. Senate race this year, but if you want to run for United States Congress, that filing deadline is noon on Thursday. And so he could draw this clock out beyond noon on Thursday when the filing deadline actually occurs. What that does to any legal implications, I'm not certain.
Crom Carmichael has a question for you, Jack, about education.
Senator, are you following at all the legislation that's working its way through its version of the General Assembly in Iowa on school choice?
Is that a big pro school choice?
Yeah, it's very similar in the sense that they're trying to get in this case in Iowa, they're trying to pass legislation that gives up to 10,000 scholarships private school that can be used for private school tuition. And in Iowa, the Republicans control both the House and the Senate, as well as the governor's office. In Iowa, the governor, Kim Reynolds, is pushing this bill very, very hard because like in Tennessee, especially our major cities, our government-run schools are failing us. And so I'm just wondering if you all, because I know you all are doing working on a piece of legislation for Tennessee that where the money will follow the student, and I'm hoping that eventually that idea means that the money follows the student to whatever school that that student and the parents choose, and that there is, in fact, choice. So I'm interested in where that bill stands.
So I believe that Bill Crom is still in the Education Committee, and I'll have to double check. I don't serve on the Education Committee, so I'd have to double check on that. But certainly, I would be supportive. As you know, I sponsored the school choice legislation we passed in 2019 that created 7,500 education savings accounts that can be utilized for private school for kids trapped in failing schools in Davidson and Shelby County. Now, I will say that legislation has been enjoined, and the lawsuit is sitting on the desk of the Supreme Court as we speak. And there has been some sentiment that we need to wait to see if that bill is going to be what we've already passed to create school choice in Tennessee, if that's going to be upheld by the Supreme Court. Because if they strike it down as being unconstitutional over a home rule, because it only applies to Davidson and Shelby, then that would need to inform us when we make another run at it so that we can do something that will withstand judicial scrutiny.
Jack, you have a challenger in the Republican primary for the very first time. His name is Gary Humble. And his argument, Jack, is that you're not conservative enough, and that you're in your role as state Senate majority leader, you're carrying, if you will, the agenda of the governor. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, I'm very excited about my reelection campaign. I'm excited to go and talk to the voters of Williamson County about everything that we've accomplished in what is relatively a short period of time of about 10 to 11 years of Republican control in the state of Tennessee. We've become the least indebted state in the nation. We're one of the least taxed states. We've got the most small business-friendly business climate in the state of Tennessee. We have passed school choice. We've passed the most comprehensive heartbeat, pro-life, sanctity of life legislation in the history of our state, and certainly advanced Second Amendment rights in Tennessee. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm excited about the campaign and looking forward to it. I actually enjoy campaigning very much, and I'm very proud of our record in Tennessee over the last few years.
There's a new bill that the governor has introduced a couple weeks ago, that would change the basic education program, BEP, funding formula for schools. Where does that bill stand now, and what are do people understand what the new formula is?
Well, it's a very important aspect of this. It's probably one of the most substantive pieces of legislation we've contemplated in recent years, because it's a large amount of money. We spend about $6.9 billion on K-12 education in the state of Tennessee, and the governor has proposed to increase that. What I'm concerned about, Michael, and it dovetails with Crom's question about school choice. Davidson and Shelby counties are significant problems for us with regards to K-12 education. And there's no one silver bullet that's going to take care of that. But what I'm tired of doing, and I think many are, is throwing good money after bad. We send an enormous amount of money into Shelby County, for example, for K-12 education. That's state money, and then they put money in at the local level. We don't have a way of holding them accountable for how they're spending that. It has been reported that they spend more money on things outside of the classroom in Shelby County than they do inside the classroom. And with our current formula, it's very difficult to hold them accountable for that. So I am all for a student-centered formula that creates transparency and accountability. But your point is a fair one, Michael, and that is it's a huge lift from an education standpoint with our local school board members, our county commissioners who fund the local portion of education at the county level, and quite frankly, members of the General Assembly and parents and all the various stakeholders. So that's the process we're going through. The bill now is, it did pass out of the Senate Education Committee. It's in the Senate Finance Committee. I don't think we'll take it up this week. I think those conversations will continue. And probably most likely we would take it up in Finance Committee next week.
Jack Johnson, Crom Carmichael has one final question for you.
Senator, the organization that stands and stops education reform more than any other is the teachers' unions. Especially here in Davidson County and probably in Memphis, but even across the state, is there any chance at the state level that we could just abolish the teachers' unions?
Well, you might remember, Crum, I think Michael Patrick would remember, I'm the one who actually carried the legislation in 2011. Believe it or not, up until 2011, the teachers union had collective bargaining rights in the state of Tennessee. And I took on that battle in 2011, and I've got a lot of scars to show for it. But I took on the teachers union and passed the legislation that did away with their collective bargaining rights. That's how bad it was up until 2011. Yes, the teachers, the TEA in Tennessee, the Tennessee Education Association, is opposing this legislation. And it is mind-boggling to me that they would, and they've not articulated a good reason why they're opposed to it, other than it will hold the school districts more accountable. And that's one piece of the puzzle. It's not the only thing, but we have got to have greater accountability so that the parents and the teachers, the school board members, know exactly what's going on and how these dollars are being spent. And if the TEA wants to fight us on that, I'm prepared to go to battle with them.
Jack Johnson, thanks so much for that. By the way, when you come back next time, we'll ask you that question again about whether or not teachers' unions should be abolished by the Tennessee General Assembly. But we'll hold that off for later. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after this.